In Kiss of the Spider-Woman, my guest Raul Julia starred as a political prisoner in a Latin American dictatorship. He played the brains behind the dictator in the comedy Moon Over Parador. In Tequila Sunrise, he was the zesty drug connection, and in Compromising Positions, he investigated the murder of a lecherous dentist. On stage, Julia starred in the Joseph Papp production of the Threepenny Opera and the Broadway musical Nine. He grew up in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and moved to New York in 1964 to study acting. He plays the title role in the new movie Romero. It's based on the life of the Archbishop of El Salvador, who was assassinated in 1980 while saying Mass. Romero used the church to protect and defend the rights of the poor. In this scene, he is confronted by another priest who shares Romero's goals but advocates tactics Romero finds indefensible.
I am a priest who sees Marxists and Christians struggling to liberate the same people. Jesus is part of that struggle. He would not stand by and watch his people being murdered.
So you become like the military and the aristocracy. You wage class warfare. You become violent.
How could we continue to speak against violence when they keep killing the people that we love? And even you admit we have the right to defend ourselves.
You're not defending! You're attacking! And you'll lose God, just as they have.
Raul Julia, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hello.
Did you find that any of your beliefs or political stands were challenged in the process of playing a man of the church and a man of the left?
No. Well, I wouldn't say so much as challenged as enhanced. Because I believe that what Romero's stand and ideology was the correct one. Romero really was not a political ideologist. He was a humanist, and he was just for the betterment of the poor and the oppressed and the people that were being tortured and unjustly put in prison. So my stand, as far as these things are concerned, are really pretty much like Romero's. It's really what works for humanity and not any specific political ideology.
Romero was filmed in Mexico, and I understand that the Mexican military at high levels turned against the movie and tried to get permission to shoot revoked. What did they have against the film, do you know?
Well, apparently, what I heard from our producer was that they had shot El Salvador there too, Oliver Stone's film, and the Salvadoran army saw it, and of course, they didn't like it because it's not very favorable to them. Neither is Romero, as a matter of fact. But you know, the truth is the truth. So they asked the Mexican military to not allow the film there, and that's why, you know, the armies pretty much usually the military of one country and another are usually like sort of like a fraternity, so they influence each other.
So what effect did this have on the making of the movie, and did it have any effect on your ability to perform?
Not at all. We did the movie, we finished it, and it was fine. They didn't do anything to harm us or anything like that. They just stayed away and didn't cooperate. So we had to get uniforms from the United States, and we had to get guns from other places, and we had to build the armored cars ourselves. So it was inconvenient, but they didn't bother us.
Raul Julia is my guest, and he stars in the new movie Romero. He plays the assassinated Archbishop of El Salvador. You know, I want to ask you, I'm mentioning your name as Raul Julia, and I think most people say Raul Julia. Do you care when people mispronounce your name? Does it bother you? Because it happens all the time. I've also heard a lot of people say Raul Julia.
I know. It happens a lot, and I'm not going to have a heart attack over it, but it would be nice if it was pronounced the correct way, and if people say Julia, then it's better if they say Julia, because Julia is in Spanish. Julia is in Catalan. And either way is fine.
Okay. Now, I think a great study in contrast is your role as Oscar Romero and your role as McHeath in the Pat production of the Three Penny Opera, which I believe you're also making into a movie now.
Yes.
As McHeath, you know, you're a morally depraved sexual sadist and gangster.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to get the body language right for that? Because there's so much you have to convey through your gestures and posture.
For Mac the Knife?
Yeah.
Well, I got a direction from the director of Three Penny Opera at that time, and it was to walk like a crab and during rehearsals. And I started walking like that, and then it turned out to be like a catwalk. It evolved into walking like a cat, and that was part of the outward feeling of the character. And then inside, I just worked on the worst, you know, those aspects that are we contain inside of us, that are anger and murder and hate and complete disgust with life and things. You have to bring those things up inside of you.
The only role I've ever heard you sing in was McHeath in Three Penny Opera.
Mm-hmm.
And in a moment, I want to play an excerpt of one of your recordings from the New York Shakespeare production cast album of that.
Oh, my God, you're going to play that. I can't believe it. I haven't heard that in 10 years.
Well, when you took on this role, did you think of yourself as a singer? Had you sung in other roles?
Yeah, I had. I actually had. I'm more an actor than a singer, so I'm always a little nervous when my voice is going to be played. But go ahead.
What the heck, huh?
What the heck?
Okay, this is Raul Julia in the Ballad of Immoral Earnings.
There was a time now very far away when we set up together, I and she. I had the brains and she supplied the breast. I did her right and she supported me. A way of life then, if not quite the best. And when a client came, I'd slide out of her bed and treat him nice and go and have a drink instead. And when he paid up, I'd address him, "Sir, come anytime you feel you fancy her. The time's gone past, but what would I not give to see that whorehouse where we used to live?"
Do you think of yourself as approaching singing as an actor?
Yeah, I think I'm more. Yeah, my purpose has always been more into acting, although I love singing and I like to work on my singing as much as I can. I really do. So, you know, it's like singing is my favorite thing after acting,
mm-hmm.
and I take the opportunity to do it any time I can.
Now, you're making the movie version of Three Penny Opera now, right?
Yeah, we finished it already.
Now, you're playing the same role 14 years or so after you played it on Broadway.
13,
okay. So does this mean that you're going to be playing it any differently?
Oh, yes. This film version is completely a different interpretation from the one I did on Broadway. The one on Broadway was Richard Foreman. This one is Menachem Golan. So there's two very different directors with very different, completely, totally different concepts.
Raul Julia is my guest, and I want to ask you a couple of questions about your film Kiss of the Spider Woman, which was released in 1985. I want to play a clip from the film first. This is about two cellmates in a Latin American prison. You play a political prisoner who's dedicated himself to a cause and is willing to sacrifice all personal pleasure to achieve the cause. William Hurt co-stars as your cellmate. He's a gay man who's a sensualist and is willing to sacrifice anything for love. This is a scene in which William Hurt offers you part of his avocado.
Have some. It's delicious.
No, thanks.
Sure, you don't like it?
Sure, I like it, but no, thanks.
Well, then go ahead and have some. It's a long time till lunch.
Can't afford to get spoiled.
Do you really think that eating this avocado will make you spoiled and weak? Enjoy what life offers you.
What life offers me is the struggle. You're dedicated to that. Pleasure becomes secondary.
Does your girlfriend think the same thing?
How do you know I have a girl?
It's the normal thing. Does she avoid pleasure too?
She knows what really counts. That the most important thing is serving a cause that is noble.
What kind of a cause is that? One that doesn't let you eat an avocado?
Molly, now you would never understand.
I understand one thing. I offer you half of my precious avocado and you throw it back in my face.
Don't act like that. You sound just like a...
Like a what? Say it. Say it. Like a woman, you mean. What's wrong with being like a woman?
You were so interested in making this movie, Kiss of the Spider-Woman, that you were willing to do it, I think, was it with no pay or with just no...
No profit? Pay.
No pay.
Yeah, no, we didn't...
Expenses, but no salary.
Expenses, but no salary, that's right, yeah.
Is that something you would ever do again?
I'll do it if it's a good enough project, yes.
Has everybody been calling you up, knowing that you'd be willing to go that far for a movie you believed in, thinking, well, he'll love my movie, and maybe he'll do it for free?
Oh, I get a lot of... Yeah, I get that, yeah. But, you know, it depends. It's a matter of loving the project, and Bill Hurt did it too. I mean, if it's a good enough project, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Actor Raul Julia is my guest. Now, you grew up in San Juan, where I believe your father owned a restaurant?
Yeah.
What kind of restaurant was it?
My father was the first man to bring pizzas to Puerto Rico.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Were they good? I mean, now that you tasted New York pizza, were they good?
They're the best. They're still the best. It's still there, and the best pizzas in the world are there in Puerto Rico.
So was it a fancy restaurant or a pizzeria with pizza by the slice?
It was sort of like neither fancy nor a pizzeria. It's sort of like middle of the road. It was built up like a cave, like a Spanish gypsy cave. And he had the pizzas there, also chicken in the basket, which he was the first one to bring chicken in the basket too. You know, the chicken with the French fries all around it.
Right.
And it was a big hit, and it still is, and it's still there. The best chicken in the world, too. Really good chicken, good pizzas. And it's called La Cueva del Chicken Inn.
That's great.
And when you go to Puerto Rico, you must go.
So you must have been exposed to a lot of different influences when you were growing up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We would meet a lot of people that would come from the States or from Europe, and
mm-hmm.
you know, so we were exposed to a lot of, also the culture in Puerto Rico. My mother, you made sure we would go to the opera and to the ballet and to. I remember seeing Arthur Rubinstein play in Puerto Rico when I was probably 9 years old or something like that. So I was exposed to many things, thank God. Also, I remember doing Shakespeare when I was in high school, reading Shakespeare for the first time in English when I was in high school. And then I took to it, and that's afterwards I decided to be an actor, and I already had some leeway with Shakespeare because I always liked it. They used to have me get up in class all the time and recite it because I did it so well. So,
when you were growing up, did you speak primarily Spanish or English at home?
Oh, Spanish. No, we spoke Spanish Spanish all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I learned English in school, but at home we always spoke Spanish. Yeah.
Could you have stayed in Puerto Rico and acted?
Yes, I could have stayed in Puerto Rico and acted, but I don't think I would have had the exposure that I've had coming to New York. You know, I could have stayed there and acted, but I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have had the exposure mm-hmm. that I have here.
When you came to New York, and this was, what, in the early 60s, mid-60s?
I came to New York in the mid-60s, yeah.
How did you first present yourself to casting directors? And I mean this in the sense of that so that you wouldn't be just typecast in certain kinds of stereotype Latin roles that Hollywood has become so famous for.
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate to meet people like Joe Papp, who really didn't see me as a stereotype, but saw that I had a feeling for Shakespeare and a love for Shakespeare. And he liked the way I interpreted Shakespeare. He's one of those people that doesn't think that Shakespeare can only be done by Englishmen, including some critics. And so I was very fortunate about that. I just met the right people at the right time.
What were the first movie roles that you were offered?
The first movie role that I was offered was in Stiletto. I come in at a party. I play a prince, I think. I remember I had a white dinner jacket. I come and I say hello. And this is Prince something of the something. And I say goodbye. And that's the end of the role. That was my first role, yeah.
Uh-huh.
In a film called Stiletto.
In the mid-70s, I think it was, you became involved with Est, the Werner Erhard group, and also with his group, The Hunger Project, which is dedicated to stopping world hunger. I was wondering if you're still involved with both groups.
Well, yeah, I participated in both, yeah. I haven't been able to participate so much. It's not, the Est training has been retired. And now something evolved out of it called the Forum. And I haven't been able to participate I've been so busy, you know. Mm-hmm. But whenever I can, I do. And the Hunger Project is something that I participate with constantly, all the time. And it's something that I've been with it since its inception in 1977. And it's something that I'm totally committed to.
Has your work with your earlier work with Est or with the Hunger Project helped you as an actor?
Oh, well, definitely, because these things, you see, as an actor, I am the instrument. I don't have a violin, I don't have a piano, I don't have brushes to paint, you know, I don't have plaster to sculpt. The instrument for an actor is his himself. So anything that deals with the self and the individual is a training into getting to master yourself and know yourself, and not only for life, which can be very helpful for life too, but also as an actor, to work on myself is essential. So anything that I find that is working on yourself and or your emotions, your personality, whatever, I try. And Est was very helpful about that.
Your weight has changed from movie to movie, depending on what the role is. You know, I've seen you, for instance, in Kiss of the Spider Woman, in which you're nearly emaciated, and in Tequila Sunrise, in which you're, you know, you have a much fuller figure. Do you have to keep changing weights depending on the role that you're playing?
Well, sometimes I don't have to. Sometimes I'm in the right weight for the role. Sometimes I don't have to change weights at all. But sometimes I like to just to because it's part of the role, and part of creating a role is the outward look of the role, the physical look of the character. So sometimes I do change weight.
Do you find yourself changing your accent and your speech patterns depending on the role? For
yes.
instance, speaking differently for Romero than you would for Kiss of the Spider Woman or
yes.
compromising positions, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, it might not be a noticeable as much to an audience as it is to me, but each, I find that most characters, with exceptions, speak differently. A lot of just little nuances, little pronunciations here and there that are just for my own, it's my own thing. So that gives me an idea, more of a feeling for the character. Sometimes I change my speech patterns very subtly, but I do change them.
We only have a few seconds left, but could you give us a sense of how you changed your speech to play Oscar Romero?
Oscar Romero was a very straightforward, very honest man, very direct. So his speech is like that. His voice is like that. It's all coming from truth. So I got that from listening to him speak, and then I have to incorporate it within myself and use that from myself, you know. Use when I speak like that, to use that all the time for Romero.
Well, Raul Julia, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.